Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The subject of our thoughts, what I owe the local church. Let us first point out some matters with which I surely hope we all agree. Every Christian desires to do what is right in the sight of God. He wants to properly discharge his duties in whatever realm he is involved. The New Testament speaks of the Lord's church at least in three ways. That's the church everywhere, the universal church. And secondly, the local church, the local congregation in a given locality. And thirdly, when the people of God are assembled for worship. The Lord wants us to be concerned about the church in whatever sense we use the term. And our lesson centers on the local church. In Acts chapter 9, 26 through 28, the Apostle Paul, after obeying the gospel and being added to the church as obedient believers are, Acts 2:47, he came to the city of Jerusalem and wanted to be identified with the brethren in that locality. He wanted their fellowship and their association, to give and to receive the strength and comfort and encouragement that comes to members of the local church together. The scripture says, "And when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem." Friend, we have a duty to the church everywhere because it is the body of Christ. But do we not especially have a duty to the local congregation to which we belong? It is in the local church that we serve. The church universal has no governmental structure other than Christ as the head of the church. But each congregation is independent of the other, self-governing within the course, the teaching of the Bible. Where a local church has members that have a keen concern and interest and local responsibility, you're going to have a happy, growing, active, and strong Church of Christ. And we want to bring a few of these duties to our attention. We all want the local church to radiate a godly influence, do we not? Therefore, every member has the duty to live a godly and righteous life. As Paul wrote, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." In other words, we are to be as a city set on a hill, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:13-16. And when we fail in this, we do injury to the cause of Christ and to every other brother and sister in the Lord. It is not just our own business what we say or do or think. When it concerns others, as influence always does, we owe it to others to be what we profess to be, followers and imitators of Christ. What hurts one member hurts the entire body. We want the home church to stand for the truth, of course, do we not? This is what the church is assigned to do, namely, to be the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Now this demands knowledge by the membership that comes only through study and prayer. Each is obligated to grow, 2 Peter 3 and verse 19. It is not an optional matter. Study is a command of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Can we afford to deliberately forsake opportunities to learn more of the will of God as revealed in the Scriptures? Members of the church have the duty to hold up the hands of the preachers who come their way when they teach the truth, and the duty to resist and oppose any who do not preach sound doctrine. No church will long remain spiritually strong before God that is not concerned with sound doctrine and purity of the message of truth. Are you doing your part in standing by the truth? And we want those who visit our services, strangers, newcomers, to feel welcome among us. We need to show a genuine interest and concern for them. Hospitality and courtesy is the least that we can offer, as we read in Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Now we may know that we're glad that they're with us, but are we attentive to our part in making sure that they know it? Do not wait until somebody else speaks to you. Speak to them first. They may be a visitor just waiting for some warm, sincere, and kind greeting. We owe it to the local church to create an atmosphere of people being wanted. This ought not be an artificial and a pretended show of interest, but because our interest is genuine. And we want the local church to have good leadership. We all must exercise great caution in the selection of those who serve as leaders in any capacity. But alongside good leadership, there must be good fellowship. This we all can help make a reality. Those who lead are men, just human beings, not infallible. They are subject to making mistakes, doctrinally and in matters of judgment, like other people. Collectively, they work at leading as an eldership. But their mistakes are kept at a minimum when they realize that those they lead are behind them and are encouraging them and appreciate their efforts, and they try to cooperate with them as best they can. When a member is assigned a duty or assumes some responsibility, he owes it to the local church and to the leadership to discharge that duty to the very best of his human ability. It is the Lord's work, after all, that is involved. Loyalty to leadership is not necessarily an endorsement of every decision they're called upon to make in every matter of human judgment. But we should strive for unity in matters of doctrine and exercise consideration toward any who might differ with us in any matter of opinion. Some brethren, sometimes even elders, seem to have forgotten there is such a thing that has been called a golden rule. We must take their leadership seriously, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 19, and not be too eager to hear and pass along some criticism. It is often true that leaders fail, but let it never be because their followers failed them. You know, some brethren make leading so difficult. How would you like to lead an army like the one we now describe? Picture a squadron of men called for drill and the morning roll call. The sergeant calls out, "Smith, where is Smith?" And somebody explains that Smith has a new boat and has gone to the lake. Then the sergeant calls for Jones. "Where is Jones?" "Well, Jones had company and he said he just couldn't make it this time. He said he would see him next roll call." "Well, where is Brown?" "Well, it just so happened that Brown was cleaning his car. Someone said Brown had said that this was about the only time he could get it done because he was so busy the rest of the time." And then the sergeant says, "Well, where is Adams?" "Well, it then is brought to light that the sergeant had said something that offended Adams, and he was just not going to come back until the sergeant apologized. And as for one named Thompson, he just overslept. But a man named White, he was there because he didn't have anything else to do that morning." Now, I ask you, how would you like to lead an army of soldiers that had no more loyalty to duty than these of whom we have described? And yet, that is what many elderships have to lead. Are we like some of these I just mentioned? Now, we want the local church to be active and alive and vigorous and enthusiastic, of course. But although many brethren do not believe it, without faithful attendance at the worship services, this quality will be lacking. Worship is a privilege, and worship is a duty, and poor attendance will cause a local church to just dry up and die. When you get sick and go to the doctor, he checks your vital signs, like blood pressure, the heartbeat rate, temperature, whether or not your insurance is all paid up, and other things important to your health as he considers it. Attendance is one of the vital signs of a local church, friend. While we're not interested in numbers for the sake of numbers about which to brag, we are concerned for souls. When members of the local church have a habit of being irresponsible in attendance, it saps the life out of the church, regardless of how fine the preacher or the eldership or the building or whatever might be. We owe it to the local church to be present at the local assemblies faithfully, as often as is physically possible. And our contribution ought to be into the local treasury also. Now, while we may visit,
and may make many contributions to worthwhile causes elsewhere, surely the bulk of our giving should be at home. And this is because the home expenses continue even though we might have to be elsewhere on a given Lord's Day. Make sure your contribution finds its way home. The local church should be one that is a winner of souls. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 we read, "He that winneth souls is wise." We have a duty to the local church to make the effort to convert others. Most churches leave that almost entirely to the preacher, or possibly one or two others. This is one reason that we're not converting more than we are. Are members supposed to care for the lost, or just a select few? The early church was characterized by the membership taking the gospel to the lost wherever they went. And the home church ought to be a church of great warmth. It ought to be a refuge from the storms of life. There should exist consideration and genuine concern one for the other, love throughout the membership. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." For there is no place among members of the church for cutting, harsh, calloused indifference and bitter words. How earthly parents are grieved when children tear at each other. Is God any less displeased? And yet we have seen and we have known brethren who seem to delight in creating hard feelings, saying unkind things, provoking all manner of hurt for their brethren, and acting as if they did not even belong to the same spiritual family. We have heard members of the church do this to one another, and to preachers and to elders and to deacons. Well, personality peculiarities, petty problems, varying views in matters of judgment are not to be allowed to cast a frigid chill over the warmth of brotherly love. When this happens, the local church is hurt by it, and the Lord will hold the guilty responsible for creating a bad climate. So we need to ask, what kind of church would this church be if every member were just like me? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.